It is the 1:30 BPM podcast. Today is November 17th, 2011. My name is Will Ryan. I'm here with Rob and Sean. Say hello, guys.
Hey.
And our guest today is Chase McMullen. Is your last name?
McMullen, yeah.
Okay, sweet.
Why are you always unsure of the guest's surname?
You can just say Chase if it's easier. I don't care.
I had to formally introduce you right off the bat, though. So let's talk about news. Did you guys see Tyler, the Creator, announce his next album titled Wolf, which is...
Well, yeah, I did see that.
Coming out...
Yeah.
I think it's May it's coming out?
Yeah.
And did you guys see how he described it? I thought that was interesting.
Mm-hmm. So
he described it... He's, like, not interested in his... kind of what he's become known for, which is, like, the aggro type shit and his rape fantasies and et cetera, and I think his literal words is he's interested in making hippie type stuff for people to get high to. So
yeah, which is interesting because Tyler the Creator is very well known as a straight edge. He doesn't do drugs at all, supposedly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd heard that about him.
I mean, he announced the album would be called Wolf way back when, so he basically was re-announcing old news. But it is weird that he changed it around to go with that style. I don't know. It kind of sounds like he's going to end up sounding like Currency to me, at least based off that.
Wouldn't sounding like Currency be an improvement on his current style?
Sure. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'd rather him copy Currency than copy Eminem.
I genuinely like Tyler's production. It's just kind of his everything else that I'm not... too fond of.
Yeah.
So,
Rob, you saw Frank Ocean last night, Rob. I want to hear about that.
Yeah. Well.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I saw Frank Ocean. It was all right. I mean, I think it was quite a poser show because, like, every time there was a slow song, everyone at the back was talking. And I mean, it's just him and a microphone for pretty much all of the set, except when Tyler came on for She, and he did an encore where he played a piano, which was really good. But, like, when it was just him standing in front of some graphics, it was kind of, I don't know. The songs I knew were amazing, like Novocaine and Thinking About You. But, like, he played a bunch of new stuff and stuff I'm not so familiar with. And, like, I'm sure it's all good. But in this setting, it wasn't exactly the ideal.
Wait, so you're saying that, like, people who'd come to see Frank Ocean were there more just because of the hype? Or what do you mean by
post? Yeah. Well, maybe, possibly because of the hype and because he's on, like, the Kanye Jay-Z record, and I don't know, I think a lot of, like, friends were there because whenever they do a show in LA, they have, like, really tight guest lists. Like, I could see all of Future were up in the balcony cheering throughout the whole thing and whatever, so that's pretty cool. Yeah.
They're from there.
Yeah, there's just a lot of hype about what'll happen with his... actual Def Jam debut, and apparently some of the stuff he played last night made the new songs anyway.
Yeah,
so you saw some cool stuff. That is absolutely my most anticipated album of 2012 because I'm a huge fan of Nostalgia Ultra, and I think that's probably going to be in my top five for this year.
It's good. I thought the like official label released version was supposed to have come out by now, but I guess it got pushed back. I don't know.
I like him, but like every R&B artist that has kind of put anything out this year, I immediately compare unfairly to The Weeknd, and everyone just kind of pales in comparison.
I think it's definitely The Weeknd versus Frank Ocean. You know, people are taking sides, one or the other.
They're so different, though.
Yeah, they are pretty different.
I mean, totally.
I think that's
totally
why, you know, that's why you end up with such, you know, fierce people disagreeing over who's better, I guess. Like, I'm on The Weeknd. I think he's better. Yeah. But it definitely,
they're both,
you know,
they're both going to be in my top five this year, no question.
Yeah. I just think the different sounds appeal to different tastes, potentially. Or you like them both. I'm not super into Frank Ocean, personally. I don't dislike him, but it just does do it for me, I guess.
Yeah, he doesn't have as much... I mean, the beats for The Weeknd are just far superior, in my opinion. But... So that was your Odd Future news for this week. Another blog hip hop artist, Lil B, released a track called "I Got AIDS," which is a AIDS benefit track. Did you guys listen to this. What do you guys think about Little B?
Any opinions? I actually like Little B. I like Little B, and as a quote-unquote, dare I say, hip-hop head, that's not a popular opinion, but I don't know. I kind of like what he's bringing to the table, personally.
I'm curious as to whether he got approached to do the song before or after he named his album I'm Gay.
I don't know. I mean, do you mean to say that he named the album I'm Gay because of the song?
Yeah, maybe. No, I just... Maybe. No, well, maybe, I mean, maybe he just had the idea for the song as a continuation and he, like, offered it to them. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured.
I don't know much about Lil B at all. I listened to I'm Gay a little bit, and I know him through Clam's Casinos, but, like, or Clam Casino, but, for the most part, like, he seems kind of, like, I feel like his detractors are sort of right. He very much seeks attention, but I think what he does with it is interesting, so it's kind of like...
Yeah, I mean, it's all about whether you buy into his, quote, movement or not.
Yeah.
Because he's very much about an artist that's creating a feeling, if you will, for his fans. So people are either going to get into that or not. But I like what he's doing with his fame. He's got a very positive movement, I guess, which for hip-hop really isn't that common of a thing. I mean, speaking about Future, you know?
Right, exactly. So it's hard not to... It's hard to, like, dislike that kind of... I guess, outlook, just for what it is at face value. But, I mean, he's totally the kind of artist that'll put a song out called I Got AIDS. And but he also, what he did was, he wanted people to, like, send him videos of them getting tested for AIDS and, like, made it this whole kind of thing. So, I don't know. It's interesting, if nothing else.
There's two ways to look at it, you know. You can either look at I'm Gay, We'll Go With the Album as attention-grabbing or as daring, you know, and you're going to like it or not depending on that, because how many people in hip-hop are going to put out an album called I'm Gay? It's the most homophobic art form there probably is. So that's what I like it. I mean, it sure is attention-grabbing.
I didn't like that it had the I'm Happy subtitle. Right. I thought it would have been more powerful if he had just kept
it. It originally wasn't there. I think he kind of lost, you know, some guts towards the end. You know, he got all those death threats and he added the thing in parentheses. I think he lost a little... You know, balls, frankly.
Yeah, he had to compromise.
But he got a lot of attention with I'm Gay. Everybody hopped on to the bandwagon then. But if you ask me, actually, Angel's Exodus, if you guys haven't heard it, that's probably his best album.
That's the album that I have heard. Because Clam's Casino is all about over that one.
Yeah. He's got, like, one or two beats on I'm Gay, too. But, yeah, he's definitely all over Angel Exodus.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a strange figure because he's either making, like, very thoughtful music or absolutely... Not at all. You know what I mean? It's very odd. He's either making a song that reminds me of, like, Waka Flocka lines that don't even make sense, you know? His bitch looks like a man, and I can fuck... It doesn't even make any sense. And then he has songs that are just very thoughtful and meaningful. It's just strange.
Yeah, it's sort of... There, he's sort of kind of... He's pretty bipolar like that. There's just really no...
Absolutely.
Our last piece of news, keeping on the hip-hop train, I guess, this week. Common released a new music video for his upcoming album, and the video was released as a benefit for Haiti. Rob, you knew more about this one than I did. What was going on?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting way of doing it. He announced that he was going to premiere his new video, but you could watch it first for $1, and all the proceeds go to the JP Haitian Relief Organization. So I don't know, do you think people would have paid $1 to watch a video that ended up on YouTube like the next day anyway?
It's hard to say, because like I wouldn't, but because it's Common, like,
yeah, Common's got the sort of fan base behind him that might.
Does he still? I kind of checked out on him after his last album, which I thought was awful. But
yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, is that since B, he hasn't really made a good album. And that's kind of the excitement with this album, I think, is that it at least appears to be the potential for it to return to form. So the fans that kind of abandoned him, I think, are back around.
What did you what do you think of the song Sweet?
I liked it. I like, did you hear Ghetto Dreams with Nas?
That yeah, came back, I like that earlier.
Like yeah, that one I like a lot. So I have some hope for the record. I don't know. We'll see.
I thought Sweet was kind of stupid. It goes kind of crazy in the middle and just swears a lot.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I'm just kind of coming down easy on him because Common has put out such weak material that I'm just hoping for a return to form. So I'm going to play nice until the album comes out.
It's coming out on December 20th. He puts out an album that late in the year.
Him and Young Jeezy, pretty much it.
It's random.
Well, isn't the Roots album coming out like in the middle of December also?
That's true. Undone.
December, yeah.
And I'm still holding out for The Weeknd.
Yeah, that too.
The third one, yeah.
But we have no idea when that's going to drop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Supposedly this year, I guess, so
supposedly
we'll see within the next...
Supposedly this month, right?
Yeah.
I don't know about this month. I just know it was supposed to be out by the end of 2011, so it could be New Year's Eve that it comes out.
I think he said fall, though. I think he said...
Yeah, fall goes all the way up to December 20th.
That's true. That's very true. But yeah, Common. I feel like he's become sort of toothless. And, I mean, like, his biggest gig right now seems like, you know, he just started on Hell's on Wheels, the new TV show.
And, yeah, what, he's acting in that?
Yeah, and he has sort of this weird cross-media image. I don't know. It's sort of strange to me.
Is that show any good? I have heard pretty mixed reviews of it.
Yeah, I've heard mixed reviews as well.
I haven't watched it, I don't know. But yeah, a lot of the conscious rappers, strangely enough, seem to be the ones that have, like, bad film careers, like Mos Def. I mean, I guess Mos Def's career's been all right, but Common was in the fourth Terminator, and I'm watching.
And he was in
it.
Just don't forget Just Right.
Yeah,
right.
I'm just watching the fourth Terminator, and he's in there like blown up robots. And I'm like, what are you doing in this movie?
Who's you know who's a surprisingly good rapper actor is Ludacris in Crash. He was amazing.
Well, Ludacris is a pretty good actor.
Yeah,
it's not bad at all.
It's surprising.
I just met him on Sunday night, actually, speaking of Ludacris.
Oh, wow. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. I was covering the Smokers show here in Atlanta, and Big Crip brought him out for Country Shit. He said, you know, now that it's in Atlanta, I'll bring out a special guest. And the audience goes freaking nuts. And they didn't make us get off the stage for whatever reason for the entire show, so I'm just there taking pictures. And he comes out and does his verse, and he's, like, going around shaking hands with the fans, and I just took a moment to go in and shake hands with him. And so, you know, barely a meeting, but still cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So, actually, now that you brought up Ludacris, I think it's worth mentioning that he just released a diss against Big Sean and Drake and basically the entire Punchline generation of rap. So, I think that's going to be a big deal, potentially.
Is Ludacris a big deal still?
No, he's absolutely not, which is part of the point. So I think that you can take it as a desperate grab for attention, which I think it kind of is, frankly, but at the same time, I'm no friend to Drake or Big Sean, so I'm not complaining. And so he's just, you know, he's pulling the I'm an old timer card, which is funny to think that he is now, then he's claiming.
That makes me feel old, because I remember when his first album came out like 10 or 15 years ago.
Absolutely. No, I know exactly what you mean. I thought about that, too. I listened to it today. It's called Bada Boom, I think it is, the song. And he's, you know, I'm all old school. And it's like, wait a second. Oh, dear.
But
he does go hard after their styles, you know, basically pointing out that they're copying something they think is original. So, I don't know. I don't understand why no one Drake dissed 2 years ago. So, at least someone's doing it now.
Yeah.
But at this point, Drake can just laugh it off and not. He doesn't have to reply and he'll lose no face.
Yeah, no, that's probably going to be true. Well, it just depends how much the media chooses to latch onto it, you know?
Well, Drake...
The
media loves Drake right now, which I want to talk about later, but...
Oh, we'll talk about that.
You know, Wayne's diss at Jay-Z wouldn't have been as big a deal had the media not chosen to make a billion headlines about it. So it all depends how they choose to take the diss, I think.
It's
and
funny...
It can either get ignored and swept under the rug or become a big deal.
The way we're talking about it sounds like... Like Ludacris is like preparing this like thesis diss or something. It's weird to think about.
Yeah, I hear that. I mean, I think it's basically just an attempt to get some attention again.
Right.
And he's working a lot. I will give Ludacris this: he's working with Big Crit a lot, which actually has a shot of really returning him to fame because Crit's what's hot right now.
Crit's good.
Yeah,
he's genuinely good.
Crit produced some of the material and featured on Ludacris' tape that just came out.
Really? Wait, where is Ludacris from?
Atlanta. My city. That's why the audience went nuts.
Let's talk about what we've been listening to. Do you guys want to... Where do you want to start? Do we want to start with Drake, or should we...
Let's end with Drake.
Okay.
I feel like we're going to be talking about Drake a lot, so let's end with that.
Yeah, that might just be our future discussion, depending on how long it goes. Rob, what have you been listening to?
I have been listening to the new album from Los Campesinos, Welsh band, if you don't know. They were the first album review I ever wrote for 130 BPM, and now this is my third album review of theirs I've written.
Christ, that makes me feel old.
they're a prolific band, so...
Wait, was that Romance is Boring, the one that you reviewed?
I reviewed Romance is Boring, but I reviewed the one before that as well.
Okay. How do you like... What is it called? Hello Sorrow?
Hello Sadness.
Hello Sadness?
Yeah. I like it. Like, it's a pretty weird record. Like, the first half is really upbeat and catchy, even though the lyrics are kind of depressing. And then the second half is just all depressing. But, I mean, some of their best... they're most well-known for, like, their poppy stuff, and that's what gets people to listen to them. But their best stuff is all the, like... more depressing stuff, and there's a lot of good stuff on the second half of the album, but none of it's as good as the depressing stuff they did in their last record, which is kind of sad. But I think the first half is just as catchy as anything they've ever written, and I think for fans it's like satisfying. For people who are like only like half fans or like trying to get into them here, this isn't going to please them at all, I don't think.
Yeah. See, I'm actually a big fan of Los Campesinos, and I haven't given the new album enough time, I'll say that right off the bat, but I haven't liked it as much as Romance is Burning or We Are Beautiful or Hold On Now, Youngster.
Romance is Boring is definitely their best, in my opinion.
I don't like them, like, at all. And I think it's...
Why not?
'Cause I
love,
mean,
Los Campesinos.
I mean, I like the music, I really don't like their lyrics. They're really annoying.
Oh, their lyrics are like the best thing about them.
Oh, I think they're like really annoying, and whoever writes them is kind of an asshole, I think.
Yeah, that's what makes them funny. That's what makes them funny.
I guess. I kind of find it like a little trite, but
I think like the least trite guy, like, he repeats himself, like, all the stories are kind of similar, but the way he like manages, he brings out so many like puns and
that's what I don't like about it. It's like too smartass and like entitled. I don't know.
But I mean, that's entirely what they're
right. It's the appeal.
They're influenced by it, and that's like their scene. They're like being smartasses. They're like doing early 90s. Tweepop updated for like the modern day. Like, they have their own fanzine and stuff like this. I mean, this is the image of the band. You have to buy into it or not, which is why I think like there's a lot of people who hate them, and then those who love them like really love them.
Well, yeah, I'm probably in the other camp, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, the music is fine. I just find the lyricist or the vocalist a little hard to take.
Did you listen to the new one?
No, I haven't. The only one I've listened to is "Romance is Boring," and I assumed, like you said, that, you know, if you're not on board, you should try
"We Are Beautiful, We Are Doomed." That one's my favorite.
Okay, but I have a question. It's been a long time since it's been a year since I listened to "Romance is Boring" or whatever. Why do they need so many people? Do they like? Are they huge sounding?
No, so they can be, but I just think just because they're like a collective kind, almost, you know. And they have like lots of random little like glockenspiels and like lots of little parts that you take for granted on first listen, and they come out like after a few more listens. Like, there's always like plenty going on in their music, even though it sounds simple.
It's so twee. It seems so twee from afar.
That's what they want to be.
I get, yeah. Well, there you go. So you like it? It's good for fans.
Yeah, I like it for fans. I'm a huge fan, so of course I was gonna like it.
And you interviewed one of their newest members, right?
Yeah, I interviewed Rob from the band who joined about 2 years ago now. They've had so many lineup changes.
Yeah. Where was that? Were they in LA, obviously?
No, I called them from San Francisco to North England. It's pretty cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
I mean, their PR called me and got us in a three-way call, and then she, like, got off the line. I don't know how you do that, but it was pretty useful. I didn't have to pay for it.
That's awesome. Cool. Is that anything else you have to say about that one?
No, that's all. Except, if there's any fans listening, you should read my interview, because Rob says that there's going to be plenty more. Like, they've got loads more songs lying around. They're going to release it, which is exciting if you're a fan.
They did two albums for 1 year, right?
Yeah, two albums in 2008.
Yep.
Man. Well, all right. I'll listen to something at some point.
All right, what have you been listening to, Will?
I've been listening to a record called Pinch and Shackleton by two artists called Pinch and Shackleton.
Surprising.
Yeah, you would think. But yeah, it's surprising because there's been little, like, people only knew about this album as it was coming out, and Pinch and Shackleton aren't really, you know, they're not nobodies. They're kind of big in their respective circles of dubstep. I think Pinch, he kind of started the Bristol dubstep scene, as far as I can tell. And then Shackleton has been kind of a veteran for a while in the, I think he's in Germany right now, but he's been releasing, I mean, they've both been releasing single after single and compilation after compilation. They've both had their own labels that have, you know, released some pretty important compilations or whatever in those scenes. And it's kind of like a weird thing that they're coming together, and the album was only announced, last week, I think, when the album actually came out. So I jumped on it, and, cause I like Shackleton a lot. Pinch I'm less familiar with, but, he came out with an album in 2007 called, Underwater Dance Hall. It was pretty influential, I guess, for and early on in, like, when dubstep was becoming a bigger thing in the UK, I guess. And so this album is really good. The Shackleton, for the most part, usually is kind of like very aggressive with his beat style, and very aggressive with, he's almost kind of techno-y with how like detailed he gets with his compositions, and he has very kind of specific influences that he likes to put into his music, such as like African kind of drums and Middle Eastern sounding kind of samples and melodies. And this album, I feel like it's his best work, and as much as I've heard of Pinch, it's his best work too, because they really complement each other's styles and bring each other's styles out with you know, like I said in the review, there's a song called, I think it's called Burning Blood, but for the most part, it's like this really tribally, like very heavy drums, kind of droney track, and it's very sort of singular in its flow and its momentum, and it's really not what Shackleton has put out before, but but because Pinch is there to kind of moderate him, it becomes this really atmospheric and really striking song, and it's just really strange and great to listen to. It's really some good atmosphere, I think. And did any of you guys listen to it? Rob, did you listen to it?
Yeah, I listened to it.
What'd you think of it?
Well, I first heard Shackleton a couple of years ago when he wrote out the three EPs, because one of our ex-writers, Andrew Rice, he really liked it, and he recommended it on the site.
Yeah, so.
And I listened to that, and I didn't like it at all. Like, I liked like a bunch of the other stuff, dubstep stuff he recommended, like Scuba and Joy Orbison and stuff like that. But this did nothing for me, so I thought I'd give him another chance with this album that you love so much, and I didn't like this one at all either.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I can't even explain why. I don't know the genre well enough to say what things I like and what things I don't, but I don't know. What would you say is the difference between Scuba and this? Well, maybe not like it.
I mean, Scuba's a little bit more kind of like dance-oriented, and I feel like this is a little bit more cerebral and atmospheric. I mean, there's not a lot of like, there's not a lot to latch onto if you're looking for a more kind of overt grooves and melodies. It's very, like, it's a very striking contrast between sort of very immediate percussion and, like, a very atmospheric and, like, wide kind of, like, stereo field of kind of details going on. It's very echoey. And I don't know, I guess for me, like, that's something I just love in a lot of electronic music, that kind of contrast. And they do it really well. They fill that atmosphere up with like some just really fun sounds for me, and I'm sort of bummed you don't like it, because I actually think it's like easily Shackleton's most accessible thing. But
I'm sorry, I guess I'm just looking for those overt dance. Yeah.
No, I mean, numbers. Scuba is so, that album is so good.
Yeah.
Last year,
Triangulation.
You guys put that on. That was before I was. I wrote for 130. You guys put that on your year-end list, didn't you?
Yep.
Yes, that's a really good choice. So yeah, for people listening to this that like kind of minimal techno, minimal micro house, or kind of IDM sort of dubstep, it's interesting look if nothing else, and I think it's gonna get overlooked because like they did not push it at all, and no one has reviewed it except us, and I think Sputnik. So that was my little plug for Pinch and Shackleton. The end, I guess.
All right.
Chase, what are you listening to?
Well, I'm listening to Yellow Wolf, as he just said. Yeah, I don't know. It just leaked yesterday, so I've been playing it just to try and get a hold on it. And I wasn't sure what I would think about it because, I don't know, Yellow Wolf has a good amount of potential. Are you guys familiar with him at all?
Yeah, I've listened to Trunk Music.
Okay. Well, for those of you who aren't, he's basically like, he has the potential to be a unique voice in hip-hop because he's basically a Southern hick, which is about as far from, you know, traditional rap as you can get, like even more than Eminem would have been in 98. But basically on his album, it's like you get past track 6 and it just completely falls off. It's the strangest thing. It's like he made the album he wanted to up to there and then just got afraid. And it just goes from what makes sense as a Yellow Wolf album, if you're familiar with him, to just pop tracks, essentially. And it's also, you can't complain because he had said he named the album Radioactive because the whole point of the record was to be able to play on the radio. So it makes sense, but it doesn't make for good music.
What kind of beats does he have for the first half?
I mean, it's all very Southern inspired, you know, it makes sense considering he's a Southern MC. And you have this kind of aggressive introduction where it's hinting that nuclear war is about to begin, and he just comes in with this like aggressive flow. And that's kind of what I'd expected and hoped from the album. And right after that, he has like Mista Call on there and Little John and like people you would expect as a Southern rapper. And then he gets Gangsta Boo, who's an old member of 3-6 Mafia, on the same song with Eminem, which is kind of a hysterical concept in itself because he throws Eminem on this just dirty South track. And that's after where it goes downhill, actually. It's almost like he's like, okay, I have the Eminem verse now. Now where do I go with this? And it just kind of goes all downhill after that.
So none of those, like, radio tracks are going to get in the radio, you don't think?
That's the thing. It's even worse. Is it? No, I don't think any of it is something that's really going to play on the radio very well. I mean, he has some good songs later on the album, but anything that he put on this record that's good isn't suitable for the radio at all. And anything that's suitable for the radio is just completely dull. It's strange.
So I don't know. Is this his debut?
Yeah.
So there. So how had you heard of him? Like, how did you know to pick this up?
Eminem is kind of legendarily, I don't want to say bad, but basically this is his second crew of artists he's had signed to his label. And last time around, he didn't release any albums because he was too much of a perfectionist and kept trying to get them to release a flawless album. And now he's the first time he's actually put out an album aside from 50 Cent. It's just this rushed record. Like, honestly, it's strange. He signed Yellow Wolf this year, and he should have spent another year getting him hype. Like, Slaughterhouse, the other group he has signed, isn't coming out till next year. I honestly just think it's a rushed album that shouldn't have been released. I don't know. It's like Yellow Wolf is afraid to have his own voice, you know? If you're going to come out and market something, you've got to attach to a certain demographic, and it'd be easy for him. He's a Southern party hard, get drunk MC. It's not hard to market that, but he just is afraid to bring that voice to a pop song. You get these kind of generic ass, I don't even know where to call them, but they're nothing that interesting.
What were you saying about him and Drake have in common?
That's yeah. Actually a good segue, because the album I was going to talk about this week is I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this guy Drake.
Who's that?
His a Canadian former child actor who's the hottest rapper in the game right now. Chase obviously has a lot of opinions about him because he wrote the review of the album for BPM, which I highly recommend reading. I thought it was very well done and well thought out. So you want to summarize what you said quickly in the review, Chase, before we get to actually talking about Drake?
Sure. I've never been much of a fan with Drake, and so when I tackled the review this year, we should mention John did the one last year for Thank Me Later. I wanted to be fair because, you know, initially my heart just wants to go to attack Drake. But I heard this album and I didn't think it was terrible. I just think it's basically he wants to create two albums. He has one where he's playing to his fans what they expect from Drake. And then he has the one with making the music he wants to make. And I think he just got lost between those two, and he can't. He hasn't quite found his voice. As to whether he ever will, who knows, but he certainly hasn't yet. Then you have...
Yeah, I sort of agree with you completely, because I've been as big a Drake hater as anybody else. I just thought that... Because when I listened to Thank Me Later, like, I thought when I first heard So Far Gone in 2009, I thought, you know, I'm not in love with this like a lot of people are, but I can at least see that, okay, he's sort of fresh, he's sort of interesting, he's sort of unique in the hip-hop world, because he's... kind of comes from a different background, and he's more, a little bit more emotionally vulnerable, and he's, you know, he's more of a pop artist than a, you know, hardcore rapper. And like, I was kind of like, okay, you know, this guy has the potential. And then Thank Me Later came out like a year later, and I just did not, it got these great reviews from everybody, and it just did not do it for me at all. I just,
no.
Like, some of the beats I thought were good, but like Drake himself as a rapper, I just could not buy into anything he was saying. He was all talking about how basically all of his songs were like, oh, I can't believe I'm this famous. Am sure. I really worth it?
Yeah, or it's a completely, completely flat album, if you ask me. And the funny thing is that it did get a lot of a critical acclaim then, but public opinion seems to have kind of reversed on it since then, including his own. I mean, even he's come out and said it was kind of a mess.
Yeah, and it was. And so the hype for... Take Care was just kind of annoying to me at that point, because I was like, okay, this guy hasn't really done anything to deliver on the amount of buzz that he's gotten so far. And the singles that had come out, I know you really liked Marvin's Room, you said in your review. I didn't like that at all. Yeah. I thought that song basically sounded like what would have happened if somebody who wasn't as compelling a personality as Kanye West had made 808s and Heartbreak.
No, I hear that. And I think, yeah, it's worth mentioning that a lot of what Drake has done is kind of jumping onto other people's bandwagons. Like what you're saying with the hype of this album, when he first started talking about Take Care, I had a thought right away that, okay, this might actually turn out to be a good album, but not for the right reasons. He instantly said, I'm working with Ninth Wonder, I'm working with The Weeknd, I'm working with all these really interesting collaborators. He basically had the advantage of such a big name that he could bring in whoever he wanted. And so let's say I want to make electronic music.
I honestly want to know this. What possessed Stevie Wonder to collaborate with him, of all people? Like, what does Stevie Wonder see in this guy?
I don't know. I mean, I think that he's a young and upcoming...
Stevie Wonder's been on the way down for ages. Didn't he do a thing with the Jonas Brothers?
I was more okay with him collaborating with the Jonas Brothers than I am with him.
Stevie Wonder didn't see anything in that guy, am I right?
Oh.
We're cutting that out of the
I had to do that.
And that's kind of the saddest thing about Drake, is he's successfully, and I have to admit, so successfully, created this image that he just has a certain perception that goes with him. He's creating, if you ask me anyway, the shells of other albums. Like Pitchfork was comparing it to Here, My Dear by Marvin Gaye, and that angers me to begin with, because you're putting an album on the same level.
I saw
as
that.
Marvin,
it was just like, wait, how are you?
If I'm going to go ahead and say that, go ahead. Sorry, what?
And. Here's a question. Like, you've probably listened to more to Drake, you know, more extensively than I have, because I've listened to his stuff, but I haven't spent a ton of time with it, because I just don't really like him that much.
Sure.
But has he ever not been killed on his own songs? Like, has he ever had a song featuring somebody where the other person wasn't better than him on the track?
I mean, I'm trying to think of one. I'll always be amused by Forever, because he came out and that was his big hello to the mainstream, and he had such a bad verse. Don't play with me, I'm a sprained ankle. It's like, what? But has he ever not been killed? Pretty much no. He manages to kill Lil Wayne every now and then, but it's Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne hasn't been good in like 3 years, though. So
exactly. There's a song called Ransom with the two of them. But other than that, like, nobody. You know, you have Forever, which is Eminem about his weakest, and he still wraps circles around Drake.
And, you know, even, like, you'll see, you know, Andre 3000. It wasn't a terrific Andre 3000 verse on The Real Her, but he was still just sort of destroying Drake without even trying.
He controlled that track. Absolutely.
Same thing with Kendrick Lamar on the interlude after Marvin's Room. Like, that verse wasn't as good as anything on Kendrick Lamar's album. And it was still, you know, he sort of just did that in his sleep, just outclassed Drake.
I love that verse. He's kind of dissing Drake on his own verse, if you ask me. There's that line where he says, blame Mr. OVOXO for the impatience of mine and blah, blah, blah. And you can take it to just mean that he's made him want more wealth, but I think he's saying for the music that's going on in the mainstream, because just before that he says, ladies are the tastemakers of the music we're making. I think it's really interesting. I think he's subtly almost dissing Drake on Take Care. And I like that. But
here's the thing. I think overall, Take Care is definitely an upgrade over Thank Me Later, because I think the production is really good for the most part. I think it's really interesting. A lot of it is. But I just, the thing is, I like basically everything about the album that doesn't involve Drake. Like, to me, he's just so boring as a singer and a rapper. He just doesn't have any personality at all.
I don't buy anything he's saying.
It's...
Yeah, you have the first track, Over My Dead Body, and it kind of comes in with that sample, and it's just... I'd go so far as to call it pretty. Like, it's a pretty beat, and, like, I easily could have been sucked in there, and he comes in right away with the first line. I killed everybody in the game last year. And it just sounds awful. I know exactly what you mean, and I agree. There are songs where he's into what he's doing, and there, at least, I personally don't mind him. Like, back when So Far Gone came out, I kind of liked it, frankly. And... I don't know. He just has songs where he's delivering something that I think is true to him, and those aren't so bad. And then he has the ones where he's just kind of playing Drake, and he just doesn't do anything. He goes monotone. Like you said with The Real Her, that song really interested me. I found it surprising because he'd been begging, you know, for 2 years now to work with Andre 3000, and he gets him on a song, and he's practically comatose on it. You know what I mean? Like, why would you? It's just surprising to me that you wouldn't put more effort in something that your idol's on. I don't know. Because you're right. 3000 pretty much sleepwalks through that verse. It's very slow, but it just completely controls the track.
So the thing is, like, I don't mind Drake that much. Well, as far as, because I didn't really listen to Thank Me Later. I think I listened to it like once or twice, and didn't really grab me. But and he was on The Weeknd's mixtape Thursday. And I thought his verse, it's on the song The Zone, was totally fine. It was totally innocuous and like was actually sort of complimentary to, you know, that song in general. But and then I listened to, because I'm a huge fan of The Weeknd. I listened to what is it, Crew Love? Is that song called?
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah.
And that's a great song until Drake.
It's
comes
a great
in.
Song because it's a Weeknd song with like. Five yep. lines from Drake on it.
But that's what was weird to me, is like it should have been kind of the same sort of setup as The Zone, but like when Drake comes in, it just totally hits a brick wall. Like,
yeah.
I feel like even just from, this is my own kind of production nerd kind of stuff coming out, but like when he comes in, his voice totally just outweighs everything on the track, and it's like staggering. You're like, whoa, you need to like embed yourself into the mix more, and that way... You know, I can just tune you out and listen to the beats, you know?
I think it's a strange thing about Drake. It's hard to put a real finger on whatever it is, but he just completely misses sometimes. You know, he either delivers on a song or he completely doesn't. Like, there's the song on Thank Me Later with The Dream. I forget what it is. Shut It Down. And Shut It Down, in my opinion, aside from Drake's verse, is a pretty damn catchy, good song. And you have Drake's verse, which, again, like you just said, is completely... just in contrast and ruining the rest of it. And he has lines on it like, you know, stars moving slowly around her, fire, comets. Like, something that bad is just strange in comparison to the decent material
that
he puts out
sometimes. The one thing that I'll give him on Take Care is that he doesn't use the hashtag style nearly as much as he did on Take Me Later. It's like, on Take Me Later, I would be listening to it, and literally every song you would have some line where it's like, she's my presidential sweet girl, Barack Hussein. Or like, I can teach you how to speak my language, Rosetta Stone.
I was bad. These
lines, I mean, everybody knows what the hashtag sells, but he just wrote that on every single song, and it just got played out so quickly. But like, there were only a couple of times where I noticed him doing that on this album. There were only a few lines. I know on the first song he had this line: "Shout out to Asian girls, let the lights dim some." And like that was one of the only lines in the album that made me just go, oh my god, why did that's terrible. But most of it, like, it's not necessarily bad, it's just boring. There's like nothing to latch on to for me. I have no interest in what he's saying. I don't relate to him at all.
I think truly part of the problem with Drake, and that I mean obviously there's differing opinions on this album, and a lot of people think it's great, so I'm not gonna change their minds, but to me, the greatest flaw with this record, and in general his music, is I think what he's trying to find actively all the time is the perfect balance between his sing-song thing and the rapping. Like, you know the song I'm On One he did for DJ Khaled? That actually, to me, more than much of what's on this album, found a balance for that. Where he sings and kind of goes in and out of that with the rapping. You know, he has songs on this record where it's either singing or it's rapping, or then it's some sloppy combination of the two, like what you said with the track with The Weeknd. So he needs to find the correct balance of that. And he does it every few songs. Like on Marvin's Room, in my personal opinion, he did it there. And then another thing that was a weakness for this album is that a lot of the tracks he put out for free beforehand were better than what made the album. And so, you know, he just wanted to create, I think essentially he is looking for respect at this point. And he tried to do that with these leaked songs. And then they ended up better than much of what he had on the album because they were more natural. He's flowing more naturally between, like I said, that style. And so long as he can't figure out a balance of that, his music's not going to, frankly, sound right.
Yeah, and so this might change the tone of the conversation a little bit, but, like, my personal thing is, like, I agree with you guys that, like, I like a lot of stuff that's on Take Care. It's just when Drake comes on that it's sort of hard to get on board with it. But, like, my main problem with everything to do with this album is just the response to it critically. It's sort mm-hmm. of baffling to me because, I mean, I think Drake really wants to be seen as this vulnerable, kind of emotionally vulnerable character, and I think it's really strange to me that people are willing to accept that and praise him for that aspect, because to me it's not. It seems like such a facade, and it's fine. It's pop music, like whatever. Like it can be shallow and superficial. That's kind of like pop music's realm of expertise. But to make it critically in the critical circles, to make it out to be something more than that, and to say this is one of the most emotionally vulnerable albums you'll hear this year, is just, I mean, that's offensive to me on a certain level.
Yeah.
Like, it really bothers me.
See, that's a lot of my problem with Drake too, is the hype he's getting. Because if he were just some pop rap R&B kind of guy that, like, I could tune out if I didn't listen to the radio, I would have no problem with him, and I'd have no problem with him selling as many records as he does. Like, I'm not a huge fan of, for example, I'm not a huge fan of J. Cole, but he's sort of the same. He's sort of the same thing as Drake, except without
than
the.
Drake. I'd say Jake is better than Drake.
Yeah, but he's sort of.
I mean, he's less creative and more talented.
He's like,
than him,
yeah, so. I know. He's like the same style, but without the sickening level of hype. I know he's gotten a lot of hype, but it's not nearly the amount that Drake has gotten. But, like, I have no problem with him because I can ignore him if I want to. But with Drake, so many people whose opinions I respect think he's like. I read some Ann Powers thing on NPR today talking about how much she loves this album, and she's totally fascinated. Wow. I'm just like, Ann Powers is somebody that I've grown up idolizing as a writer, and she's, co-signing Drake, and that just, it's, and every Pitchfork is all over it. Everybody loves this guy, and I just, I'm an open-minded person, I legitimately want to know what I'm not seeing in this guy that other people are, and I'm not...
My theory, at least, that my theory, I guess, is that basically he's emulating a bunch of these different old artists, and you have people that are attached to those artists, and I don't know, I think, like what you guys are saying, his music is hollow interpretations of those songs, but they're being interpreted as kind of a revival of them, like all these comparisons to Marvin Gaye because he made Marvin's Room, and et cetera. People love that old music, and they want to see it permeate into new music. And so the fact that Drake's just kind of copying it, rather than being seen as copying, is being taken as inspiring, which to me is irritating. Like,
I also think part of it is just like this need to latch onto somebody.
Responded to a lot of those sort of also ran bands from the, remember like 2003 to 2005 when the big thing was everybody was coming, was like trying to come back with like the new wave post punk, because you had like the Killers and Franz Ferdinand coming out, and those bands, I think, had lasting and respectable careers, but there were like other bands coming out around that time that were just sort of not as good and were just sort of derivative, but at the time they were getting all this critical buzz because they were part of this movement. Or you could even say the same thing about the garage rock revival from the early 2000s. Like, you really, besides the Strokes and the White Stripes, really nobody else was that enduring from that movement, but so many of these people got praised because everybody was just buying into this movement, and I think you could be right about that, about how, people are so attached to these things that Drake is trying to be a throwback to, that they're just sort of buying into him.
Mm-hmm. And absolutely.
And I think, like, those two things that, like, that sort of buying into could be a part of, like, this need to latch onto, you know, the cultural zeitgeist. I mean, if there's an artist out there that can kind of represent what people want music to be, and this is kind of, I'm sort of going out on a limb, I guess, because there's no, like, you can't fucking prove this, but, like, there's, if you guys are correct in saying, like, he's bringing back all these things and people are latching on to that critically just so it can be a thing, you know?
Well, it also could be the, because you, it also could be, and I've been saying this for years, is that I don't know how much old Rolling Stone you guys have read, like from the 60s and 70s.
Just
but
like Lester Bangs.
Some of it.
Stuff.
Cream first came out, they trashed all those bands. They didn't like them at all.
Right.
And now that sort of, you know, hindsight has gone by and they're just like, oh, wait, we were totally wrong about Led Zeppelin and we were wrong about Pink Floyd. Now it seems like because they got that so wrong in the 70s, people are so afraid to, you know, trash whatever's popular because they don't want to be the person who hated ABBA or the Bee Gees in 1977 when those are classics. And that's why I think you see, you know, you see this Drake hype. You see a lot of people, you know, praising rappers like T.I. and Young Jeezy. Like, those guys have no business getting, you know, good reviews on a site like Pitchfork. But they're just – I feel like, and I am not saying that 130 BPM hasn't been guilty of this also, and just if it seems like I'm bagging on Pitchfork, I'm not, but, like, I feel like people are, like, afraid to, if something is really popular and seems like it's going to stay popular for a long time, people are sort of afraid to not like it because they don't want to be the person who, they don't want to be that record executive who told the Beatles that groups with guitars are on the way out in the early 60s.
Sure, I hear that.
That's fair.
I don't know. I mean, I think in time, I mean, this is kind of changing gear that we can go back, but ultimately I don't think it'll be a problem because with what you were saying about jumping onto the bandwagon, Drake will be this big of a thing for maybe a few more years, and I think he'll be done. Because if you look at his material...
I really hope you're right, but I'm not sure I'm as optimistic as you are.
The only way I can see that changing, the reason I'm so confident about it, is if you look at his material, all he's essentially released is songs about how sad he is about his girl problems. How long can that last you? You know, how long will the audience be interested in that? And I can't really see Drake... I don't know. I'd be curious as to what new sound he'd come up with. Because so far, he's just kind of jumping on other people's sounds. Like, I don't know why it's not being talked about more that Take Care,
right,
at least in part, is a Weeknd album. Like, Weeknd has backing vocals across the whole thing. He may be only prominently on the one track, but he helps Drake throughout the whole album. I honestly think that's being overly ignored. It's just like, oh, this is House of the Balloons Part 3 with Drake rapping on it.
Which it's not.
No, I mean, I'm just... complaining, essentially. I think he took a lot of the Weeknd sound for this one.
Well, I'm not really a big fan of Kanye, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
I am.
I feel like this... He's,
I am as well.
Just from my kind of limited view of Kanye, which is just, like, admittedly limited, is, like, it seems so derivative of that. Like, he has, like, a similar nickname, doesn't he? Like
Drizzy, yeah.
It's that to me is, like, laughable. Like, what? Like, it's so fucking similar. Like, and the kind of, like, I think, I mean, I don't really understand the appeal. I think Kanye is a great producer. I just don't really understand the appeal of his persona. But I feel like a lot of people say, kind of, they aim the same sort of, well, he's showing his hand by, he's being vulnerable by just kind of being confessional and all this stuff. And with Kanye, I can kind of see that. But with Drake, it just seems like he's trying to do that at some point.
Yeah.
It's like he really wants people to sort of say, it's like him, I mean, people are so up about him being vulnerable, but in a way, it's, to me, it seems like he's like putting up walls almost in that
and apparently from what I've read, this whole thing about him being so humble and so vulnerable, it's not even true. Did you read, I don't know if any of you guys read that Complex story about him that just came out? Did any of you guys read that?
Yeah, the photographer one.
Yes. If, for those of you who don't know, he was doing his, like, the story opens with him doing his photo shoot for Complex, and he had his people, you know, fire basically the photographer that Complex brought in that they had previously approved to bring in, like, one of his friends, and he was like, no, you see, this is just about what we're trying to build. We work too hard to deal with this, and it's just like, you know, what you're trying to build is going to be jeopardized by having somebody that your management had previously approved, by the way, doing your cover shoot.
Wait, who has ever said that he's humble, though? Like, he's He's so...
You see this a lot? I see a lot of people saying, oh, well, he's so unsure about his fame. He doesn't really, you know, he wonders whether he deserves the amount of praise he gets.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's completely totally a facade. I mean, this is tricky ground because, you know, how many artists make music that's based around concepts realities, you know?
I agree. And, you know, the other biggest rapper in the game is Rick Ross, who raps about dealing cocaine despite having
sure.
a form of corrections.
And the funny thing is that I really love Rick
that,
Ross.
It's like, I don't know, with Drake it just seems especially offensive because it's something that, like...
But see, the thing with Rick Ross is that he got accused of the whole security guard thing, and he went and made his music more absurd, you know? He made it more cinematic, so I think at least he's in on the joke. Rick Ross is much more consciously amusing to me. Like, I don't find Rick Ross offensive,
Rick Ross,
I find
by
Drake
the way,
offensive.
Rick Ross, by the way, also kills Drake on this album.
Oh, absolutely.
Well,
he's killed Drake collaboration they've done.
Well, it's like fiction. I mean, fiction can be disingenuous and bullshit, even though it's fiction, you know? Like, just from,
yeah.
like novels and movies. It can be, well, that's bullshit. Like, that's not...
Right, something can be pandering. Like, I honestly don't understand how... I've seen people say that Drake is sort of a, you know, female-friendly and feminist rapper, but maybe it's just me, but Make Me Proud is one of the most disingenuous and pandering, like...
Absolutely.
He's, like, he's trying so hard to, like he's talking about, you know, Make Me Proud, like... Is that really a message that feminists want to embrace, that they need to have their man be proud of them in order for them to be successful? Like,
Drake,
and I realize this is sort of outside of my wheelhouse,
chicks
on,
like.
But it's like,
well,
it's like, I feel like Drake's the kind of guy, and I,
the kind of girls that like Drake's music are the kind of girls that are out partying all night. You know what I'm saying? Like, every sorority chick I was friends with during college was all about Thank Me Later. Like, that's where he's marketing towards.
Well, I feel like anyone that casts women in like a sexual light and like. Very little else. I mean, it's hard to get on board with calling him a feminist like that.
No,
that just
he's
like
not.
You're working like you're limiting yourself to like one realm of like the human condition or whatever, and like calling that feminism. Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, it's hardly feminism. It's more about I don't know.
He
Drake
just knows
makes music
he just
about
knows
seducing
a lot
someone.
Of girls like Best I Ever Had, and so he tries to. Duplicate that is basically
exactly.
what it is. And people buy into it. That's the thing I don't get is that so many people like what is it like
tracks that
you know all due respect to Ann, all due respect to Ann Powers, what is she doing liking Drake?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either. We're all equally confused.
Yeah, I am really confused by the critical reaction to this because like a lot of what I personally feel like Drake sort of glorifies and embodies is so much that we usually kind of turn around and we don't take that shit like to a certain extent.
Did any of you guys watch Anthony's review of it?
I didn't.
No.
For those of you who don't know, Anthony Fantano, the Needle Drop, friend of the
sure.
site, fantastic video reviewer of albums. I watched his review of Take Care yesterday, and he basically likened it. I thought this was like the most accurate description of Drake that I've ever heard. He basically compared Drake to the guy who goes to the club, you know, pop collar, Axe body spray, and just like says all this really sensitive, emotional stuff to girls
yeah.
to try to get them to think, oh, he's not like all these other guys who just want sex. He's more thoughtful and understanding, and it just seems like such an act to me.
Yeah, it's pandering and
especially on I forget which track it is on the album, but he's talking about like, oh, I don't make music for dudes who don't get pussy. It's like, shut up.
Yeah. I
right.
talked about that on my review because that to me actually opens up to a whole series of contradictions that he's making in his music. Because on one hand, and I mentioned this in my review, on one hand, he's talking about how his whole intention and desire in life is to be this better person. Oh, I'm so shallow and I need to settle down and stop treating the girls I like shit. And da, 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 and that's the whole supposed concept of the album is that he's trying to be a quote better person. And then he turns around and has that line, which is like, if you're not getting laid all the time, then... No wonder you're dissing me, which is about the most immature response to someone criticizing you possible.
And that goes back to my point about ripping off Kanye, because Kanye is one of the things people like about, well, that I can see that like about him, or he contradicts himself in a similar
sure.
manner. But, like, to me, it's so, that sort of contradiction is so blatant. Like, I don't know, like...
Yeah, see,
it feels more genuine with Kanye. With Drake, it feels like
right.
he saw that Kanye got popular doing this, and so he
yeah.
wants to
latch onto it. Like, this seems like it could be an ambiguous thing to say that one of them does it poorly and one of them does it well, but the kind of the way I reacted to it is that Kanye on, say, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy has... It does come off as disingenuous to Drake, and the reason I think that is that he has... It's not a in-song basis, a track-by-track basis. You know what I mean? On Take Care, you've got a song that's all about the emotional shit, or you've got Make Me Proud. And then on Kanye's album, you've got a song like... I don't know, practically anything off that record, where in the same song he'll have a display of just absolute over-the-top egotism to complete helplessness. Within the same track, he goes, you know what I mean? It feels much more, I don't know, Drake kind of tries to appear like a nice person through it all. You know what I mean? Kanye's not afraid to bring out his shittier elements. And that's the reason I liked Marvin's Room, is I thought that was the only track where Drake truly brought out what a piece of shit he's really capable of being. And that's what Ye's not afraid of, then the reason I think he's better.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, as much as I don't really like Kanye, I feel like he does have a certain sense of, like, stream of consciousness a little bit, whereas I feel like Drake is, like, really calculated. And
absolutely.
And, like, and just back to that line about the people that hate on me aren't the guys getting pussy, it's like, even that something like that line is, to a certain extent, like, Like, it just bothers me so much that people will go out of their way to call this dude a feminist. I mean, that line negates so much of, like, what anything.
It really is the most immature line ever, in my opinion. I first heard that, and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, so if someone like, doesn't get laid, they shouldn't buy your album.
20 minutes trashing Drake. We haven't even gotten to I'm a Descendant of Marley or Hendrix.
Did he say that?
Yeah.
We haven't even gotten to that yet.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess a lot of frat boys like Drake, and a lot of frat boys like Bob Marley. But like,
yeah, I don't even know. I don't see the comparison. I mean, I guess they probably both smoke weed, but I'm guessing Marley smoked more of it and had a better understanding of why he was doing it.
Right.
But
it just makes my brain go blank.
This is the second time. He's referenced being Hendrix. On Thank Me Later, he did the same thing, to call me Drizzy Hendrix back in the stage getting stoned or whatever. Second time he's done it.
Jay-Z called himself Rap's Grateful Dead, but it's like, you know, Jay-Z by that point, this was on the Black Album, Jay-Z had kind of earned that at that point.
Yeah. And again, that's not a specific comparison. That's just a sheer popularity comparison. This is Drake saying, I am the descendant of another musician that I'm nothing like whatsoever.
I mean, not to pick apart that too much, but Hendrix to me is like this overflowing of like unbridled, totally atonal emotion, and then Drake is like this calculated, disinterested, like very like not interesting fucking pop star. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And you have the idea that, you know, both of the artists he's referring to basically created a movement and did something epic. What has Drake really done that's unique? He's just kind of...
He basically helped turn an album that Kanye West made into a genre and did it less well.
It's true. No, I think basically his whole career he's been trying to capture 808s unsuccessfully and trying to find that balance, yet again, that he has unsuccessfully tried to do. And then the funniest thing, honestly, is that 808s, when it comes down to it, is a very rough album. Drake is far from that. He tries to make everything so 808s, smooth.
808s, I'm unapologetic about the fact that 808s is my favorite Kanye album.
It's not my favorite record. I'm not calling it rough to disrespect it. I'm saying
It's just when Drake was first coming out, like I was hearing sort of the 808 heartbreak influence on So Far Gone. I was like, oh, this is, and like I liked Kid Cudi's first album, sort of. I didn't love it, but I liked it. And you know, I was hearing these stuff, and I was like, oh, cool. Like, you know, this thing Kanye did is might sort of spawn a genre, but it just, Drake just cannot. I don't know. That got old so quickly. Drake just seems like he keeps on.
Yeah, I still think he'll be gone in a few years, unless he comes up with a new style, in which case we won't hate him so much.
Thank you.
We have been hating on him for a while now.
Oh, absolutely. And then you want to talk about, now that we're just dissing him, I'm kind of having fun. You want to talk about being disingenuous. Something that always entertained me is how much he fabricates his past. Which, unlike Rick Ross, who wants to be a drug dealer, I just don't see why it's necessary being who he is. He always talks about living in his grandma's basement and not being able to afford a car and like da-da-da-da. And maybe his life was way harder than I pictured, but I just don't see how starring on Degrassi would like leave you living in your grandma's basement. I just don't see that.
He grew up in one of the richest suburbs of Toronto, so it's like...
Toronto. You ever heard the song where he says he's scared of Toronto? He's like, those Toronto streets, I'm scared.
Yeah, I did hear that.
He legitimately talks about that. Oh my god. He needs to go to Compton, hang out with Dre for a little.
Well, I will say that, like, the people that, like, don't like Dre because of, like, the emotional vulnerability is, like, their anger is so misplaced.
Whenever I talk to somebody who likes Drake, and they're like, oh, you don't like him just because you think he's soft. And I'm just like, no, that's not it at all. So, like, even I feel like getting to this whole, oh, he didn't grow up in the streets, I feel like that's sort of playing into that, so I don't really want to get into that argument, but, like...
That's fair. I mean, I'm not even criticizing the streets so much as I'm just criticizing him making things up. Like, I don't care if he grew up in the streets. So the funniest thing is, personally, I like emotional music. So, like...
Oh, totally.
I should be predisposed to like this. Like, well, like this is the sort of music, were it well made, that I would enjoy.
Well, that's the thing. But there's something... Like, in a year where, like, Burst Apart comes out, you're gonna call fucking Drake the... he's gonna be the emotional guy of the year? Or like...
Yeah. Oh, even The Weeknd. You know, I feel like The Weeknd is so much less... I feel like The Weeknd sings a lot about a lot of the same kind of, like, sexual uncertainty and, you know, personal vulnerabilities that Drake does. But I feel like Drake does it seeking the approval of others, whereas The Weeknd just doesn't... what anybody thinks about him whatsoever, and I think that makes him come across more genuine.
Oh, totally. I mean, and The Weeknd probably makes up a lot of... I mean, some of that stuff is totally fictional.
I have no idea. I honestly have no idea whether The Weeknd does as much cocaine as...
No, but I mean, even in the sense of, like, even in the sense of, like, the concept of a song, he kind of creates characters, and you know, there's, like, a whole, you know, it's a song, it's not just...
Right, him. I think maybe the fact that we know absolutely nothing about Abel as a person... makes us, you know, we can at least think, oh, maybe he's singing about himself, and maybe he's, you know, singing about a character. But with Drake, you know, his whole story is so out in the open. There's no way you can interpret.
It seems like we're gonna get to know Abel a lot more. Like, he's coming out of his shell a lot. I think that's kind of disappointing. I would rather he'd stay, you know, mysterious. It makes his music more interesting.
Well, the difference that I think between
I'm really afraid he's gonna sign a deal with Young Money and.
I mean, really working with Drake was certainly not.
Little Wayne guest star.
It was. It was good. Working with Drake was good for him in terms of obviously publicity, but I don't think artistically it'll do him any favors.
I think he dwarfs Drake so much. Like,
oh, absolutely.
It's like hilarious, but I
think because of what he's done in his career.
I'd read somewhere that he wrote some of the hooks for Take Care. I mean, who knows if that's true or not? But I had read that.
That doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise
me neither. Me neither.
I think the main difference between their lyrical styles is like, The Weeknd isn't talking to the audience. He's talking to the people in his songs, whereas, like, Drake is totally seeking the audience's acceptance, and it's just like, fuck off.
You guys definitely bring up an interesting point, is that The Weeknd's such an ambiguous character that he's able to do that. Drake, it's actually kind of an interesting idea, is that he's trying to make music that is so... grounded in him because he wants all the attention, but is also not who he is. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, actually a great comparison that, of course, I would make, but it's actually, I think, a fitting one, is that when Eminem came out, he was Slim Shady. He didn't try being both. You see what I'm saying? It wasn't like you had a song where he's going around murdering people, and then the next song is like, I don't know. I think basically he stayed in character and it worked. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Drake drifts between these people. He wants the music grounded in him, but at the same time, he's making music that isn't him. Drake, if anything, should have made a persona that was far more ambiguous, because it would fit the music he's making much better.
Ambiguity always helps that type of, like, confessional style, I think. If you're not Kanye, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, he's just too out there, I don't know, for to make the sort of music. I don't know. It's hard for me to come up with a way that Drake would make music that I liked. I'm trying to think of how he would ever figure out his path.
Yeah, I just I just don't like what he sounds like, just aesthetically. I think his voice is kind of annoying.
How long until
like Little Wayne with every edge?
He's got kind of a nasal.
What did you say, Rob?
I was just going to ask, how long do you think it'll be before Drake is starring in a movie?
Right.
No time.
Well, he's got the background.
Yeah, exactly. So it's that fast tracks him. What do you think? Summer 2013?
Isn't he a voice in a new Gears of War game? I read that somewhere. Isn't that about as ridiculous as it gets?
That's terrible.
Ice-T is
so
that
ridiculous.
I think you're like, thinking, you know, Ice-T.
Am I? Maybe they chose not to go with it, but it definitely was confirmed at one point that he was going to voice
characters.
Really? I read about it. Okay. Couldn't believe it. Because, you know, if you've played those games, they're about the most muscle-blound, like, massive guys ever, and then you'd have, like, let's go shoot some bugs. Yeah, girl, I shot you in my M16. Yeah. Oh, God, I couldn't take that.
Is that really what it's... I don't play Gears of War, so I don't know. Is that really what it's...
Oh, he may not legitimately be on there. See, rapper Drake took star in Gears of War 3. It's on Wired.com.
No, he's definitely
Michael
not
Jordan
on there.
Places. Yeah, he got replaced, thank God.
That would be strange.
That would be ridiculous. But yeah, so they hired him, and the fans freaked out, and he got replaced.
Thank really? God. The fans freaked out?
Yeah.
That's pretty hilarious.
Apparently.
Wait,
I mean, who wants
like the Detroit
to
Lions
play those games? They really are the most overly masculine thing ever. And so to have Drake in it would just be... I almost would have liked it. It would have been hysterical.
Rob,
what were you going to say, Rob? Cut you off?
I was just saying how the fans freaking out about Drake being on Gears of War is like the Detroit Lions fans freaking out about Nickelback.
Yeah.
So we've been... So Rob has been sort of silent. What do you think of Take Care? Just... In a general
Well, I never had any desire to listen to Drake up until this one came out, and everyone was talking about it, so I thought I'd check it out. And I actually didn't mind it that much at all, like as something to just put on in the background. Like, unlike Sean, I can tune him out and just stays back there. And the one thing that annoyed me about it is I don't understand. He's got that Jamie XX remix of Gil Scott-Heron, but then he's got Rihanna singing the hook. Why didn't he just keep Gil Scott on the hook? It would have been so much better.
There you go.
Well, I mean, the Billboard charts can't answer that one, sadly.
That, you think it's going to make that much difference? Just because she's on there, it's going to be...
Oh, yeah. Rihanna is becoming...
Rihanna
is... Give her a few years, and she'll be bigger than Beyonce was. I honestly think that could happen.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, she's going to be huge.
You don't think Beyonce is at her biggest now? You think she's gone down?
Beyonce is starting to go down, I would say. As of right now, her next album will never be as big as her album B-Day or the one after it was with the Put a Ring on It, etc. I'm not going to listen to her too consistently, but I do enjoy like the way that kind of there's always a female R&B queen, and I think give her a little bit of time.
I'm a huge Beyonce fan, so I...
No, me too.
Four was really good.
I actually like Rihanna too, truthfully.
Four's
good.
I'm kind of burned out on Rihanna just because she's everywhere right now. But she has a lot of songs that I like and a lot of songs that she's on that I like. So I really...
Good Girl Gone Bad is a very consistent pop album.
Hasn't she brought out every year for the last 5 years?
Yeah, the way she's able to put out consistently hit albums, like,
have other people write them for her.
Yeah, she managed to keep up that pace. Like, she's gonna be huge. I just like Rihanna. Give her a little bit of time, she's going to be the biggest star we have in this country, quite possibly.
If she's not one of them already.
Oh, absolutely. But right now, I'd say Gaga's probably bigger than she is. It's hard to pick, though.
Yeah, but Gaga, I don't even know where to place Gaga anymore. I think Born This Way is a better album than a lot of people thought it was. But she's just like, her last couple of, like, I used to always look forward to her videos when they came out, but at this point they just seem like they're so contrived and so, you know, self-consciously controversial that I'm just not really that interested in her as a pop figure anymore, even though I still like a lot of her music that she's putting
out. See, I know it's kind of the bland, obvious opinion, but I just instantly decided she was a Madonna copycat and I've never liked her. Although I did like Video Phone. I like the song she did with Beyonce because that song's just so goddamn catchy.
Telephone?
Yeah, Video Phone, Telephone.
And then also Video Phone.
Yeah, the one that they did the video for together where it's just completely over the top, like you said.
That was an awesome video.
Are you talking about Telephone or are you talking about Video Phone?
I think it's Video Phone.
Telephone is the one with it's like the spaghetti western.
Okay, with the Tarantino sort of theme?
Yes.
Yeah. That video was awesome.
She did another song together called Video Phone, which was...
See me on your video phone. Yeah, I know it. But, I don't know. I'm not the biggest Gaga fan, I must say.
It seems like Gaga won over a lot of, like, alternative fans with the EP thing.
And then lost them all.
And then completely lost
them. I think that's I think that was a pretty solid album, even if it was pretty derivative of Madonna. Or the song The Edge of Glory, every time that song came on the radio when I was home, my mom would always say that it sounds like Sheena Easton, and like, I mean, yeah, she's very derivative, but I think she has a lot of really good songs.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. I just, I never get much of a chance, frankly.
Plus, I watched her HBO special a few months ago from Madison Square Garden, and I thought that I was really impressed with that. I think she puts on a great show, and she doesn't lip sync at all. She does all her singing live, and she has a terrific voice, and. She's a great performer, and so I have a lot of respect for her. I don't really know what her next step is. She's either going to tone her act down a little bit or just get ridiculous to the point of being self-parody.
Yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling it'll go in the direction of self-parody, but that's just the impression I'm getting. I mean, she does show up to things dressed in meat, after all.
Yes.
I was impressed with her when she started doing that piano version of Poker Face. I thought that was, like, really good. And then, I don't know, she just went the other way with her album. Like, she could have done something a little less synthetic, you know?
See, I really liked Born This Way. There's only, like, 5 or 6 songs on there that I didn't like. Out of, what, 17, 18?
That's the other thing. Why is it so packed? Why not go like Kate Bush and put on
the That's the other thing about Take Care. That's the other thing about Take Care, to bring this back to Drake. I'm never going to, like, however good I think some of this production is, I'm never going to be in the mood to listen to a 79-minute Drake album.
I hear that.
That's really
he
long.
Definitely should have. I mean,
you can watch cutting, a whole movie in that time.
Cutting some stuff off the album definitely would have served him well, I think. And then he's got that song where it's like a remake of Back That Ass Up, and it's just like, what are you doing? Remaking a Juvenile song.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, we're, like, so drowned out in terms of the critical kind of consensus on this Drake album. And, yeah, I mean, alright, so, just to let you guys know, we're at 1:20, so.
Yeah, why don't let's just wrap this up here, we are going to do a feat.
Yeah, I
agree. Alright, so, wow. Drake conversation. We had opinions about it, and you heard them.
This is true.
So, yeah, I don't even know how to end it. It's just like, you just heard us talking for so
long. Oh, here it goes.
Yeah. But yeah, that's been the podcast, the Drake cast, I guess.
The Drake cast. Yeah. Everyone take care.
And, I'll plug this
OBOXOYOLO.
Oh, God. Your girlfriend at your next show. Better watch out.
Hey, he's a feminist, man. Don't watch out. So I'm gonna plug this again. We might have even more Drake talk. We might get a whole round table going. And you might see that come out in the next couple of weeks. So stay tuned on the site, if you wanna hear other people. Probably some people who actually like the album. That would have been nice to have on this podcast if we could have, because we all obviously don't like it. So
yeah, Sean, we should find some people who like it and just argue with them. Yeah.
You should hit up Craig.
Yeah,
yeah, sure.
So
anybody.
That might be what the podcast turns into. So keep a lookout for that. And till next Thursday, this has been the 130 BPM podcast. Goodbye.